Amen. Amen. Well, have you ever had that Sunday where you wake up, that alarm goes off, and you think, hey, it's Sunday. I get to go to church today. It's like you've been waiting all week to gather with God's people, to worship, to sing songs of praise, maybe sing hymns, to gather and hear from God's word. Many of us, we have an anticipation or an excitement like that around Easter Sunday. I've always loved Easter. Here in Minnesota, it means that spring is either here or just around the corner. And we all love those Easter Sundays when we wake up, it's sunny, 60 degrees, and everyone comes dressed in their best outfit. And there's just this hunger, this excitement as we gather and as we worship Jesus, our risen King, our Savior, who has conquered sin and death once and for all. And Easter is just a few weeks away, and I can't wait for that Sunday. Now, you've probably also had that Sunday when the alarm goes off, and you're like, yeah, it's Sunday. I should probably go to church. I should probably worship. I know God is worthy of my praise, but getting my praise on this morning, I don't think it's going to happen. And so you think, well, I'll just maybe go to Bedside Baptist or Sleepy Sanctuary, or even better yet, the Lazy Lutheran Church, which is very convenient because it means I can just stay in my bed or just sit on the couch and turn on the TV, watch some guy preach, or pull up my laptop, hear some great sermon online. And we've all had those Sundays, haven't we? In which we're excited to come and gather in God's presence and worship him. And then we've had those Sundays in which praise is difficult. This morning, we're continuing our sermon series that we've titled Hesed. And through this series, we're looking at different characteristics of God's loving kindness towards those who place their trust and their confidence in him. And here's some of what we've covered the last several weeks. I'll put it up on the screens for you to see. But we've talked about God's faithful loving kindness in salvation, how his loving kindness is a fortress in times of trouble. It brings peace and a calm assurance. We've looked at God's faithful loving kindness as the creator and sustainer of life, how it is a refuge from sin and a safe place in this dark world. And then we've looked at how God's faithful loving kindness is a persistent pursuer. We talked about this last week. Despite our unfaithfulness, despite our wandering, God continues to pursue us, to call us back to him, and he offers us mercy, forgiveness, salvation through Christ. And today, as we continue in our series, looking at God's faithful, loving kindness, the big idea or the key thought is this, that God's faithful, loving kindness inspires our posture toward him. As we consider God's love, his faithfulness towards us as his people, that should inspire in us an attitude of praise, of thankfulness, of humility for all that God has done and all that he continues to do for us as his people. So let's look at our text. We're going to be in Psalm 92, verses 1 through 4, and then 10 through 15. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there. And please stand this morning as we read from God's word. So Psalm 92, the psalmist writes, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy." Then verse 10. "But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him." You may be seated. So as one looks at this psalm, as one reads this psalm, it's pretty clear that it calls us to have a posture or an attitude of praise and worship towards God. Now, praise can be defined as this, to admire or approve. It's an expression of admiration. It's words that express approval for somebody's achievements or for someone's good qualities. In the scriptural sense, it's giving worship and thanks to God. And we quickly offer praise to people, don't we? The Winter Olympics, if anyone loves sports, you know that they just ended a week ago. And this past week, there's been lots of praise, lots of admiration for the Olympians from Minnesota. Jessie Diggins, she was the first woman to ever win gold for the U.S. in the cross-country relay skiing event. And I don't know if you saw her race, but it was amazing when she came back to win at the end. Maddie Rooney, she's the goalie of the women's hockey team who played an unbelievable game against our great friends to the north, Canada. And we won. We got the gold. First time in how many years? Anyone stay up to watch that game till like 1:30 in the morning? Yeah, I was killing it, kicking myself the next morning, but it was worth it. Worth seeing it. And then the story everyone's been talking about, Duluth's very own John Schuster, right? The skipper who won gold for the U.S. and the curling team event. Again, phenomenal story. Lots of admiration, lots of praise for these athletes. Now, it's interesting because we can't for the life of us in this state win a Super Bowl, right? But, man, we can produce some great Olympians, so we have something to be proud about, I guess, as Minnesotans. Now, if we give praise, if we give admiration to Olympians for what they've accomplished, how much more praise, how much more admiration, how much more worship should we give to God as we consider his faithful, loving kindness? You see, an Olympic gold medal is fleeting. It's temporary. 4 years from now, we're not going to care. But God's faithful, loving kindness is eternal. It's never ending. And that should inspire in us a posture of praise, a posture of worship. And so how I want to focus our time this morning is I want to look at three different aspects to praise. And I've titled them each with the word peace. So priority, purpose, or reasons, and then posture. Let's begin by looking at the priority of praise. Okay, Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Now that word good, it means desirable or agreeable. So as the writer of the psalm takes time to consider God's goodness and his faithfulness, he says, it is good. It is good that we worship God. He is most worthy of our praise. And then verse 2, it says that praise towards God should be the first thing you think about as you start the day and the last thing you consider at the end of the day. Easier said than done, right? I mean, for how many of us that alarm goes off, 6:45 or 5:45, 6, whenever you wake up, and the first words out of your mouth are, praise to you, O God. Thank you for this annoying alarm clock that just woke me up. You are worthy of all glory and honor. I got to be honest, doesn't always happen in my house, especially on those cold, dark winter days when you just want to hit snooze over and over again and stay in bed. Yeah, sometimes praise in the morning, the first thing that we utter out of our mouths, it's difficult. Yet Scripture says that an attitude of praise towards God, it should be a priority for us. Psalm 34:1, I love this. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Paul and Silas, they were great examples of this. We read their story earlier in Acts 16. So they're in prison, they're in chains for preaching about Jesus. And what do as their feet and arms are shackled to the wall, to these chains? They praise God. They sing songs of worship. It's a great quote from a commentary from John Goldengay. He says this, it's on your sermon notes for today. We are to express God's commitment and truthfulness, in other words, his faithful loving kindness to his people, not just in the morning and evening. A mere one-time recounting of these events is not enough. They deserve continuous and repeated proclamation. And as I thought of this idea of worship or praise being a priority in our lives, I couldn't help but think of King David. If you look at the life of David, he embodied what it means to have a posture of praise towards God. Whether he's out in the field tending sheep or hiding in a cave or running away from Saul who wants to take his life, or when he finally ruled as king, worship, praise was a priority. He was always taking time to sing songs of worship towards God. He wrote many of the Psalms. And a few weeks ago, we talked about this idea of God being a fortress. And as we looked at Psalm 59, which David wrote, I talked about how David had this confident expectation in God, a confident expectation that God would meet him, that God would not fail him. And I believe the reason why he had that confident expectation is because he was a worshiper before anything else, before being a parent, a worker, a spouse, a grandparent, employee, friend, king. He was a worshiper first. Praise was a priority for him. And I pray that that would be true of us as God's people. This brings us to our next point, the purpose or the reason for our praise. First and foremost, it's because God is worthy, is he not? God is worthy. Psalm 145:3, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. And we need to remember that God is God and we are not. And scripture over and over again speaks to the greatness of God and how he deserves our praise simply because he and he alone is God. And yes, we praise him for his mighty acts. We praise him for his loving kindness. We praise him for his gift of salvation in Jesus. But first and foremost, we praise God simply for who he is, God, amen, who deserves and is worthy to be praised. Now, the reason why we praise or a purpose for our praise is the gift of grace, of mercy, of forgiveness we have in Jesus. It's the gospel that while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, while we kept choosing sin over God, as we talked about last week, God had mercy on us, and he provided a way of salvation through Jesus. He sent him to the cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose again in victory, and all who believe and trust in him have the promise of forgiveness, salvation, mercy, eternal life. That in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. In Christ, we are upright. We are blameless. I pray the reality of that would continue just to collide with our hearts and our minds and bring us to a posture of worship. I was talking with our confirmation students this past week on Wednesday night, and we've been walking through the book of Acts, and we're talking about how the Gentiles, when they heard the gospel, they were so grateful, and they fell down on their knees in worship. And I was talking about how, we were talking just with the students, seventh graders, how many of us, we kind of just get bored with the gospel. Kind of just like, oh yeah, Jesus loves me, he died for me. No, I mean, we should be on our knees in worship and in praise, adoration for what God has done. Many of us, we love the Sundays that Teen Challenge comes here to Hope Church. Man, we love hearing their stories of redemption, of rescue, of how God has taken them from this dark place, how they've found mercy, forgiveness at the foot of the cross. And I love watching them worship. Many of them just in tears of gratitude, of thanksgiving for what God has done. And I pray that we as God's people would continually have that posture, that we wouldn't get bored of the gospel, that it would bring us to our knees in worship for what God has done. Another reason why we praise and worship God is his faithful loving kindness. All that we've been talking about the last several weeks, that he provides peace, protection, safety. He nourishes and sustains us. He is a refuge from sin as we place our trust and our confidence in him. And in Psalm 92, we read part of this earlier, but it speaks to God's acts of kindness and mercy towards his people. It speaks to why God is worthy of our praise. Verse 10. Speaks to how God has given us strength in times of trouble. It's a picture of a wild ox, which is a very strong animal. And with God on our side, we have strength to endure any trial, any difficulty. Verse 10 also says that he refreshes and he renews our spirit. It says he poured over me like fresh oil. Anyone experience that? That refreshing, that renewal of spirit. It's an amazing thing. We should praise God for that. Verse 12 through 14, I love this. He makes the righteous flourish. Not just survive, but flourish. There's this picture of palm trees and the cedar of Lebanon, which is a picture of strength and dignity. And then verse 15, I love this. I'm going to read this again. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no unrighteousness in him. It says that God is a rock, which means in him we are safe, we are protected. He is a God in whom there is no unrighteousness. He is upright and blameless, meaning God is a God whom we can depend on 100% of the time. You want to depend on someone? You want to put your chips in a corner, if you will. Put it in God's corner, who's dependable, who is faithful all the time. And this reality of who God is, his faithful loving kindness, again, it should inspire in us a posture of praise, a posture of worship. Now, there's another reason why we worship, and it's not here in the text, but it's worth mentioning it because we see it throughout the Psalms. It's this, that praise enthrones God. Psalm 22:3 says this, yet you are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. And I came across this quote, a guy named David Nolte. I don't know if he said it first or if he found it somewhere, but it says this, praise exalts God to his rightful place in our lives. And it reminds us of how great, how powerful, how majestic, how holy God is. It reminds us that God is God and we are not. And I don't know about you, but I need that reminder because I so easily can become self-absorbed. I can easily begin to focus and start to think that my life is really about me, my desires, my wants, my comforts, my ways. Anyone else ever struggle with that? Yeah. And what's great about praising God, and Pastor Brian mentioned it earlier this morning, is it gets the focus off of us and on God. His goodness, his faithfulness, his sovereignty over our lives. About 5 years ago, I went through a real long season of waiting and just trusting in the Lord. So I left my previous church in 2012, May of 2012. Amy and I felt the Lord leading us out of there, and so we kind of stepped out in faith. And I thought, you know, within 2-3 months, I'm going to have a job again in full-time ministry. It wasn't of May until 2013 that I started working here at Hope, so it was a whole year. And I'm telling you, there were some long days and some long moments, and God provided for us financially. I was able to get other jobs here and there, but I had just a longing and a desire to be in full-time ministry again. I knew the Lord had called me to it, and we were going to another church at the time here in the Twin Cities, and they would have long, extended times of worship on Sundays, and there was just a longing in me for every Sunday. I just wanted to be in a place of worship because it reminded me that God is on the throne, and I am not. It reminded me that I have my plans, but God determines my steps. And it reminded me that God is faithful, that he is good, even in those seasons of difficulty, even in those seasons of waiting. What praise does is it gets the focus off of us and onto God. And that's why I believe the Bible calls us over and over and over again to praise, to worship God. This brings us to the final point this morning. That is our posture of praise. Our posture of praise. Now, what's happened with the English language is we've created an immense amount of what I like to call junk drawer words. And what I mean by that is that the burden is on the hearer to figure out what in the world we're talking about. So we say the word cool, right? Well, we could be referencing the temperature of something or the swagger of something, right? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Then there's the word love. I mean, what don't we love in 2018? And I hope we don't mean the same thing. I mean, we love fish tacos. We love burgers. We love our new phone, our wife, our children, my pet, my Bible, my car, right? We love all sorts of things. Well, what do we mean by that? It's a junk drawer word. Now, in the Hebrews and the Greeks, they didn't operate like this. They were nuanced about what exactly they were talking about. In both the Greeks and the Hebrews, they had many different words for praise. And some of the meaning gets lost in our English translation. And so what I want to do as we close our time here this morning is I want to look at several uses of the word praise in Hebrew. And I've listed them in your sermon notes. You'll find them on the back. And here's my hope. We're not going to cover all of them, but you'll see them there. My hope is that understanding these terms, I pray that it encourages us in our praise and worship of God. Now, I'm not an expert in Hebrew. I'm going to say that. I've carefully and intently tried to look at these. I might not be pronouncing them right, so please forgive me for that. But the first one that we see is this idea of halal. And that means to boast foolishly, proudly, to make a show of it. Again, Psalm 113, praise the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I'm going to say this up front. Some of us are going to be uncomfortable with this one, but it's in the Bible, and so it's important that we understand it. I believe we see this picture, this idea of this kind of praise most clearly in the book of Samuel, where David is leading the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And so the presence of God has just returned among his people, and David, he gets caught up in this frenzy, right? I mean, he strips off his outer garments, he's singing, he's dancing, he's just rejoicing because God's presence is back. And what happens? His wife, Michal, she's embarrassed, and he says, David, you made a fool of yourself. And I love his response. He says, what? I'll become even more undignified than this. It was for the Lord that I was boasting, not for the people, not for me, but for the Lord. And I believe David was saying, I don't care about how you perceive me. If I'm a fool, I'm a fool in my enjoyment of God. And this is halal. Now, some of us, again, especially Lutherans, Scandinavian backgrounds, we're a little uncomfortable with this, right? This idea of boastfully rejoicing in the Lord. But we have this gear in us. I know we do. When did we express this idea of just boastfully rejoicing? When did we express it as a state? 6 weeks ago, maybe 7 weeks ago. Minneapolis Miracle. 10 seconds left. Case Keenum has the ball. He throws to Stephon Diggs. He stays in bounds. I mean, we just went nuts as the Vikings defeated the Saints with 10 seconds left. I mean, we just like, we were rejoicing all over the state for like a week. And then we had to play the Eagles and that all went away, right? But we lost our minds. We lost our minds. I did over a football game. We made a show of what the Vikings did. How much more should we boast in what God has done for us? And again, I know some of us, we're uncomfortable with this. I think for whatever reason, we've come to believe, we've been taught explicitly and implicitly that God doesn't want this kind of praise from us. But we're wrong. Halal is used over and over again in Scripture, especially in the Psalms. And I believe God loves it when we boast in him, when we are excited and grateful to be in his presence. Now, I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about showing off in our worship. That's of the flesh. That's different. But I'm talking about a heartfelt, passionate gratitude being expressed towards God for who he is and for what he's done for us. And as I've studied this text this week, I've just been praying, God, would you give that to us? This heartfelt, passionate gratitude for who you are, for what you've done, and may we not be afraid to let it be known. I think that's really this idea behind halal, that we let it be known to others what God has done and that he is worthy of our praise. The next one is this, Tehillah. Tehillah means to praise vocally in song or shouts. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, praise is understanding what is true and then expressing it. Understanding what is true and then expressing it. And one of the ways we express it is through song. So I believe praise is allowing the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's word, to collide with our hearts, and then we express it through song, we express it through praise, we express it through shouts. Next one, Zamar. It's to praise with instruments, alone or with voices. Now, I love this idea that we can be alone when we praise. For some of us who can't sing very well, we really like that idea, right? And maybe the place where we're going to praise is in the car or in my bathroom, in my kitchen, where no one else can hear me. That's where I would shout out songs of praise to God. But yeah, we praise when we gather as God's people. But we can also praise alone as we sing and the posture of our hearts, just thanking God for who he is. Another one here, I believe I'm saying this right. Star Wars fans will probably love this one. Yoda, right? Not Yoda, but Yoda, right? Difference there. It means to lift or throw arms upward in praise and surrender. Man, I love Psalm 42:5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him. Again, praise gets the focus off of us, our problems, our circumstances, and it puts the focus on God, the one who can handle our problems and our circumstances. It puts the focus on the one who gives us strength and endurance to face the difficulties and the trials of life. And the last one that I'm going to mention is this, Barak or Shavah, to kneel down to bless God as an act of adoration. Psalm 95:6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. It's a posture of humility. It's one of surrender, one of exalting God to the rightful place in our lives, one that says, God, you are God. You are in charge. I'm sovereign. You're sovereign, and I am not. And we sang this song earlier through that song, Gracefully Broken, right? Here I am, God, arms wide open, right? That's a way of praising God through Psalm 95:6. All right, so here's my hope as we come to close this morning, as we prepare our hearts for communion. There's many different ways that we can express our praise, our worship towards God. And I pray that we would be encouraged to do that. Like David, we would be people who worship God with abandon. But more than that, that we would remember that more than an outward expression, worship really is about the posture of our hearts. That's what it is. And so I pray that our hearts would be filled with gratitude, with praise, with thanksgiving, with humility, as we consider all of who God is, all that he has done for us, and as we remember his faithful, loving kindness. I want to close with this quote from the Lutheran Study Bible, and does just a great job of summarizing Psalm 92. It says this, no doubt there are days you wonder if going to worship is worth the effort. You ever feel that way? Pastors do too. But focus on what God has done for you in Jesus, who is faithful to his promises. One day justice will be served on the wicked, but we who believe will flourish in the strength of Christ's resurrection. And then I love this prayer. Lord, bring forth praises out of our hearts, for the works of your hands make us glad indeed. Amen. God is worthy of our praise, is he not, church? He is. Let's join in prayer. Father, we do thank you for who you are. We thank you for your continued faithfulness towards us as your people. Father, and we could just continue to list off and list off all the reasons of why we should worship you, of why you are worthy of praise. Father, remind us throughout this week. I pray for those for whom praise is difficult right now. And Father, I don't want to make light of their circumstances. I don't want to make light of their difficulties because I know it's hard. Going through those seasons of waiting, sometimes it feels just like a long winter. But God, in those seasons, you call us to praise. You call us to worship. You call us to fix our eyes, our gaze on you because you are worthy. So Lord, remind us of that. I pray the posture of our hearts this week would truly be one of praise, of grace, of thankfulness for who you are and for what you've done. I pray this in your beautiful name. Amen. Amen.